Thanks for coming back in. We'll go ahead and get started with the song while the rest of everybody files in. If you'll stand with me, turn to number 277. The Church's One Foundation. If you're still coming in, that's fine. Find a seat. 277, The Church's One Foundation.
The Church's One Foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is His new creation by water and the Word. From heaven He came and sought her to be His holy bride. With His own blood He bought her, and for her life He died. Elect from
be seated. Welcome. Thank you for coming back in. And I assume you all got these on the tables as they were laid out. The different men are going to come and speak about the topics listed on here, starting with our own Sam Mason. Sam, if you'll come.
I think my topic was the history. I think they asked people who've lived most of that history to share it. So anyway, it's that hymn was very appropriate. Jesus Christ is the foundation of our church, and we're very very thankful for the even. The history. We think sometimes we look back and think that it hadn't been very long. 50 years hadn't been very long. And so we're just very, very thankful that you're here to share this with us. There was an article in the paper, and I will refer to it some. If you haven't read it, it is on the bulletin board out here, but I think it would get rather lengthy, so I'm going to just highlight some things, kind of fill in some things. But the article started this way: "Our name says it all, Fellowship Bible Church," said the Reverend Brad Arnold, pastor of Fellowship Bible Church in Springdale. We're big on fellowship. We're big on the Bible. And he goes on from there. I'm going to go kind of history, get a timeline, as was presented in the paper, fill in some things that wouldn't have, just for lack of time and space. But the first meeting of what was then Bethany Bible Church was December, I think one says December 31st, and one says December 13th, I think. So a little transposition there. But in December of 1964, a group of 19 people met for the first time. Was not officially established as a church with elders and deacons, I believe, until June 1965. At that time, in 64, they called Carl Tuning as the pastor. He was the first pastor of Bethany Bible Church. In 1965, the official organization of the church, with 20 adults, Dr. Melvin Anderson was one elder. Dr. Ed Wheat was the other elder. Two elders at the time. Many of you may know Melvin Anderson was Andy Anderson one for our church in recent years. He passed away a few years ago, but if you recall, we had an Andy and Phyllis, and then we got another Andy and Phyllis. So there was an Andy and Phyllis 1 and an Andy and Phyllis 2. So Melvin was Andy Anderson 1, one of the original elders of this church. Deacons were H.M. Hutchinson, A.C. Pippins, and Richard Burley. You'll see in the article that it refers to some articles early on by Mrs. H.M. Hutchinson, or Malcolm Hutchinson. He was Malcolm Hutchinson. He was one of the first deacons, and you may know they were the parents of our former Senator Tim Hutchinson and our current governor, Asa Hutchinson. From that time, from 1964, from the first meeting was in the Salem Lutheran Church, which had they had moved out of that church. Met there for a while. Then they went to what was the basement of the old public library. That is where Shiloh Museum is now. That was where I first started going to church here. It says in the article too that I think they used the Wheat Clinic for some Sunday school classes. I think the youth group met in the Wheat Clinic. They later moved, and the article says, to the Cisco Funeral Home. It was the former Cisco Funeral Home on Emma Avenue, not the current Cisco Funeral Home. Many of you may know it, Ann Lynn's little dress shop there in recent years. And then they bought this 3 acres here and built on it. This in 1968, the building that is our classroom nursery building. To kind of describe that to you, if you go out the door towards the hallway, the hallway that goes out to the right as you're walking west there, that was the sanctuary. If you turn left and go towards our nursery now, that was the office the nursery, the classrooms, the kitchen, and the fellowship hall. So you can see kind of where that. Carl Tuning left, from what I recollect, he felt like his ministry was building and planting new churches. And so he moved on, and our next pastor was John Broughton. He was a graduate of Dallas Seminary, as was Carl Tuning. And John was here pretty much, the exact dates I don't recall, but John had a ministry here for several years. John Broughton. Next pastor was Tom Ellis, and he was here for several years. And then after Tom Ellis was Bruce Cushman, and he was here a shorter period of time. After the article refers to Lowry Foster, when Lowry Foster was pastor, that was when we changed the name from Bethany Bible Church to Fellowship Bible Church. Lowry left, and when John Glasser came, he is our longest serving pastor of this church. But well worth it. The time that John was pastor, and you'll see some slides, I think this building was built in the late 80s. In the early 90s, the fellowship hall was built, was added. And then later on, the classroom wing, and in the meantime, the old sanctuary was subdivided into classrooms. So that's kind of a history of our kind of facilities or pastors. And then, well, Steve came on as pastor while John was senior pastor. John decided it was time for him to retire, and Brad came on board, and then our latest addition to our pastors, Greg Peterson, this last year for our pastor of the youth. I know there's a lot of things I've missed, a lot of things that, a lot of things that other people would be able to add. One of the things I wanted to share, brought this Bible, old Schofield Reference Bible. Still use it to prepare for Sunday school, along with, of course, it's the King James, and you get a New American Standard and a NIV out. But this was given to me when I joined this church. It was dated January 14th, 1968, signed by Carl Tuning, the pastor, and it says, to Sammy Mason. Now, nobody calls me that anymore. Said, on the occasion of your entrance into the fellowship of Bethany Bible Church, we wish to extend to you our prayers and Christian love. May the Lord richly bless you in our fellowship. That was very special.
My remarks are on the relationship of God's Word through the years of our church and how important God's Word has been. Psalms 19:90, our theme for this is, "Thy faithfulness continues through all generations." Arguably, our church had just completed our first generation. But all the testimonies you will hear today will validate God's faithfulness to our church over the last 50 years. It is fitting that the Bible is in our name. The Bible is the record of God's faithfulness for thousands of years. It contains the promise for a king, the promise for a savior, the promise of eternal life, and the promise of the Holy Spirit within us. But it's more than history. It's also a prophecy for all eternity. But it's more than a prophecy for all eternity. It's also a directive of how we should walk in fellowship with God through the Holy Spirit. Our church has been a lighthouse for teaching both God's faithfulness as recorded in the Word of God and also His instruction for living while here on earth. We've seen the power of God in the lives of our people at Fellowship Bible Church. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the Word of God is active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of the soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." The Word of God has been active and piercing and instrumental at Fellowship Bible Church for the last generation. My wife Marilyn and I, along with our two young daughters, visited the church after arriving in Springdale in early 1987. Marilyn and I had attended large churches in the Dallas area after marrying in 1978. After visiting Fellowship Bible Church, I was really drawn to John's teaching, his systematic approach to Scripture, and I felt the Holy Spirit drawing my family here. But it wasn't a large church, but the facilities were inadequate, but it didn't have a children's program, but it didn't even have a choir. But it did have teaching from the Bible, and it did have a gifted Bible teacher in John Glasser. We joined and became official members on the Sunday the new sanctuary was opened for its first service. And over the last 27 years, Fellowship Bible Church has been faithful to having Bible in its name. I have heard God's Word taught consistently from the pulpit by men who were well prepared, and who were led by the Holy Spirit. I've seen the church start a Sunday night service for the purpose of additional Bible study. I've seen the church start an Awana program to teach children to memorize God's Word. I've seen the church develop graded Sunday school and adult classes teaching the Word of God on Sunday mornings. I've seen the church start vacation Bible school, backyard Bible clubs, public school clubs for the purpose of teaching Bible to children. I've seen numerous Bible studies for men and women, young men and young women, covering a multitude of topics from Greek and Hebrew to the tenets of a godly marriage to the disciplines of a godly life. I saw John Glasser meet with me for lunch every Thursday for 7 or 8 years over 15 years ago to help teach and mentor me and memorize Scripture with me, which continues to be profitable for me today. I've seen numerous people similarly mentored in God's Word over the last years. I saw God help our search committee find a replacement for John. Brad Arnold is also a godly man who studies and prepares well-organized, well-developed, Spirit-led scriptural sermons for the purpose of glorifying God and maturing the attendees of our church. As a bonus, he has a wonderful partner in his ministry through his wife, Kim. I saw the church had a youth minister and his wife who were committed to teaching Scripture to young people who are in a critical years of development. I saw one of our ministers spend years for additional seminary work, requiring hundreds of hours of added work in order to provide biblically grounded counseling for people in our fellowship. He also has a godly spouse who complements his ministry here. I saw our church send people across the world to teach the Word of God to those who have not heard. I believe that Fellowship Bible Church has been faithful during the last generation in honoring and teaching God's Word. May God bless and protect our church as we continue in this cause. Happy 50th anniversary.
When Kim talked to me about the service, I threatened that I was going to pull out an old tape from the 80s and sing an old song. It was an empty threat, but as I was going through looking for music for the slideshow, I typed in faithful, and this old song came up from the 90s. It's a Steve Green song, Find Us Faithful. So I'm going to try to sing with the track again. I have not done this in a long time, so hopefully I won't get off. This is Find Us Faithful as the slides go. On the journey of the narrow road, and those who've gone before us line the way, cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary. Their lives are stirring testament to God's sustaining grace. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race not only for the prize, but as those who've gone before us, let us leave to those behind us the heritage of faithfulness passed on through godly lives. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. After all our hopes and dreams have come and gone, and our children sift through all we've left behind, may the clues that they discover and the memories they uncover become the light that leads them to the road we each must find.
I've been given the assignment of talking about the outreach of the church, especially missions. Dale Gupton, wherever he is, graciously reminded me before the meeting today that the best thing that I ever did for missions in this church was to step aside from the missions committee. So I appreciate the elders and their input into my life. When we came in 86, the church was fairly small. But one of the things that was amazing about the group was that they had a fairly well-established mission program. Let me just read some of the names, and some of them you've never heard. A few of you will remember these names. Eric and Terry Stricker were missionaries supported by the church. Mike and Bernice Stoltz were supported. They were just coming off the field. They were down in South America. Bob and Lee Gustafson were here from New Tribes. Glenn House and his family. Anybody remember the Houses? Yeah, about five of you do. Bernie Twazon, remember him? He was with New Tribes as well. And then Miss Carol and Miss Jewel were around here at that time too. And in addition to these families, these people, through the Bible Radio, Evantel, the Fish Pond Ministry, and so for a very small group, and Roger went down the list of all the things that weren't here, you know, the but this, but this, but this. They had a good mission program. And so I, as a pastor, I was blessed to inherit that attitude that we wanted to be a group, we wanted to be a church that in some way was reaching out beyond these four walls. And things went on in the late 80s. Terry and Kathy Weedle stumbled upon us from somewhere and stayed around a while, and then they left for the Philippines, and they're sitting in the back row today, but going back to the Philippines in September, and they've been there for 20-some years, Terry? Something like that. Picked up occasionally. We support now, added early in the 80s, or late in the 80s, group called Living Alternatives, which was a pregnancy counseling ministry. I think it was in Cave Springs at the time. One of the hard things about inheriting mission program is you have to get rid of some missionaries that you don't think are worthwhile. And we did. We had to drop a number of the people, a few of the people that we were supporting. And that's hard to say to somebody, we don't think your ministry is valid. And so the mission program isn't always just up. Sometimes it's regrouping, and we were kind of trying to get, and I say we, I'm talking about the board and the congregation as well, trying to get a focus, a little bit of a sharper focus, and make our missionaries a little more responsive to the church, in contact, and also in their ministry, something that we could wholeheartedly approve of. And so we had an adjustment period in the late 80s. But we also had an interesting group coming from U of A, just a number of young men were meeting with us regularly, and they ended up being here for a while, and then they all went to the mission field. We picked up the Peretz at that time. Kirk, I don't think, was married when we first met him, and he later got married, but they've been over in China ever since, and some of you know their work. Picked up a young man by the name of Randy Rubel, and he wasn't married. They came back from China after a couple of terms, I think, and then got married, and they went back. Alan Morgan, Alan and Brenda Morgan, college students that stayed with us for a little bit and moved out. And this got us, kind of helped us to refocus. We wanted a program that represented the church. Now, you can get missionaries a dime a dozen, really, because the phone rings all the time. We're going to such and such a field. Can we come, introduce ourselves to your church, and get your support? And we kind of came to the conclusion we didn't want that. We wanted, wouldn't it be nice if we could get missionaries from our own group and send out from our own church, because we would relate better to their ministry, they would relate to ours, you know, and it was just a better thing. And so the Morgans perhaps were some of the Weedles and the Morgans kind of, and Peretz and Randy Rubel, they just kind of started this focus. And this went on, and by the end of 1993, Barbara Andrews was here. And she had a unique ministry for a number of years. She only went out on short-term mission trips for a year or two at a time. And she would go to either a Christian school overseas or a missionary pastor somewhere, and she would work in his library. She was over in Vienna. She was down in Pueblo, Mexico. She was somewhere over in France, I think, and then in South Africa. And so she was kind of coming and going, but we just felt, you know, part of the group, and we're sending her out. Chuck and Judy Broad, the Barthelemies went out in the early 90s. They had been here for a couple of years, and then they decided to become turkeys and went over there. And we picked up Rich and Carol Lindecker out of the group. Phil Welton wasn't exactly from the group, but married a local girl, and so we started supporting Philip and Susan over in Ireland. Jeff Stone, another U of A person, was with us for a number of years, and then he ended up going over to China. We'll talk about him just a little bit later. But at that time, again, always a time of adjustment. We ended up, out of the list we had by the end of the middle 90s, we ended up having to drop three of them, just not fitting their ministry or their whatever. So, again, it's all not all pleasant. It's not all, you know, just smiles. It's a tough thing, hard thing to be right in a mission program. But the group was really working at it. We wanted missionaries to honor the Lord and to go out. In the late 90s, Andy and Phyllis number two got this cockeyed idea, and I never forget when Andy was sitting in my living room and said, I got this idea. Phyllis and I are going over to Budapest to start a library. Well, you know, I said, where'd you get that idea? He said, well, the Lord told me. And I said, okay. He hadn't told me, but they went over there, and they were just amazing. And their library is still over there, even though both of them have passed away. But we could get behind that because the group, the church, sending out their own, were growing up. In the late 90s, we picked up Ryan and Margaret Emus, kids that had grown up here. And now they're leaving next week to go over to Malaysia after working in Fayetteville for a number of years. And Ken Turnbull was teaching Sunday school, and somehow he got stuck on one verse. And I guess for some of the kids that sat under his Sunday school class, they just got tired of hearing that verse. But this was Ken. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And I guess if you think you can teach that verse for 6 months or 9 months, whatever it was, he did it. But that was what the Lord used him to move him out from us over to Africa. And he and his family have been over there. They've switched gears from new tribes to working with the group, starting African Christian University. But again, how the Lord worked from just teaching Sunday school here to get somebody on the mission field. And we're just really, really pleased with that. In the 90s or early 2000s, Ron and Joyce Furman came here, just kind of here. And we ended up, not only does Ron serve as a deacon, but we support the mission he represents, Whetstone Ministries, and that work. And again, I just stress it, how the Lord has worked in our group to get people from our group out on the field. Send some other people on short-term missions. And by short-term, I don't mean 2 weeks. I mean like a year or 2 years or 3 years in some cases. And the Lord has just shown us a whole, just this is the mission program. And right now, I think we have, I don't know, maybe 10 or 14 family names, individuals' family names, and another half dozen or so organizations that we support. And that's not counting what we're doing locally. We have, you know, Roger just mentioned it, the Bible clubs in the schools, the group that goes out on Sunday afternoon to share the gospel door to door, and just how the Lord has blessed. And that's what I inherited. I didn't have to do much except
try to get out of the way and let the Lord work and send people out from our group. And we're very, very blessed to have the mission family that we do. And my favorite missionary story is maybe going to is a challenge to you. Jeff Stone, the student, he and I, he came up to me one day and said, "Let's talk about what it means to be a disciple." I said, "Okay." So we just met every once a week or thereabouts for a little over a year. And we just talked. We had no book, no curriculum. We just talked about what it would mean to follow the Lord. And toward the end of that period, he got his master's degree. He was teaching math at school in Little Rock. But then he came back and we started talking again. He said, "How do I get to China?" So in my infinite wisdom, I said, "Well, you go, you get an airplane ticket, and you get on a plane, and you fly to China." Jeff Stone got an airplane ticket, and he flew to China. And he'd been over there 20 years. He met his wife over there, so that's hopeful for some of you. She's from nowhere, Louisiana, and he's from up here, North Carolina via Springdale, and they meet over in China, and they came back and got married down in the pine forest in Louisiana, but they're back in China. And it's just a perfect example how the Lord can work. If we don't get in the way and we don't have our fixed ideas of what He wants to do and how He's going to do it, and everything has to fit this and this and this and this and this, if we just step back and say, "Lord, just give us people that are willing to serve You." And out of a group like this, maybe there's somebody here that just needs to buy a ticket, you know, just go. And you say, "Well, that can't be done anymore." Well, it can be, you know. But the beauty of being able to be a pastor to this group for as many years as I was just to be able to occasionally step back and just say, see how the Lord is working in our group. And people that you never would have imagined, you don't have any idea how the Lord's working inside. And all of a sudden, something crystallizes. I need to go there. I need to do this. And the Lord just moves it. So it's been a blessing to see how from 1986 on, the program has been solid and has grown. And it's just kind of exciting now that Brad's having the privilege of doing what I was able to do over these years, to just see who's next, you know, who's next out of our group, not from some stranger coming in, but who's next out of this group maybe that the Lord will just move and say, "Hey, I need to go here," and that we can continue to be a part of them in our desire to have evangelism globally, not just locally, but evangelism globally, part of the ministry of this church.
Well, I feel like I, among other things, inherited a church that really excels at fellowship. And I don't know the history of when and why the name changed, but it fits. It fits. In fact, you guys may not realize this, but our family visited this church. We first found out about this church in 2009, and we came for a visit because we had heard about the fellowship here. So we came for a visit, and we've been here ever since, haven't we? 5 years. So now we, you know, that has been the thing, I think, from the beginning for us is just the love that you have for each other. And just how contagious that is and how welcoming that is. You know, as new people come in, they feel that, and they feel instantly at ease and welcome here, and as we did. So I just really am thankful to the Lord for just the nature of your fellowship together, which obviously includes the social element of having a meal together and hanging out and having fun and cutting up a little bit and just enjoying each other and visiting. But it also includes, you know, the aspect of exhorting each other and being able to speak the truth in love with each other. And anyway, I just think that's a really remarkable thing about this church that God has done. God has called us into fellowship, hasn't he? Into fellowship with himself and with his son and with one another. And what a joy that is, that we live this Christian life in fellowship with other believers. And we just continue to rejoice in how God continues to bring the people that we all need, right, around us, and how he uses us in each other's lives. So we're just very, very thankful for that. I was thinking this week, you know, while we're celebrating 50 years, and we can look back at lots of change. Has the church changed in 50 years? Quite a bit of change. Do you think it's going to change in the next 50 years? Yeah, quite a bit of change. Are you ready for that? You know, and as we think about the changes that are inevitably going to come, what do we know will remain constant in that? The same thing that has remained constant in the past 50, right? God's faithfulness. And so we want to be faithful too, don't we, to his word and to this fellowship, and then trust him to continue to move this church and make it all that he wants it to be. So, yeah, like Roger said, happy anniversary. What a privilege to be a part of this church. All right, how many of you filled these out? These have a list of questions on the back, and this is a sampling, too, of all the variety of ways that this church engages in fellowship. I hope you're a part of one or more of these. There were 21 questions. How many of you got an answer to all 21 of them? Just throw your hand up there. Did you get correct answers? You don't know? Well, I'll tell you what. Raise your hand if you got all 21. Okay, Phil, what did you get for the last one? Who has been a child in the nursery and served in the nursery? You got Alyssa Kelly. Is that true, Alyssa?
Yeah.
Hey, okay. Excellent. All right, Shelby, you got all 21 filled in?
I got filled in.
Okay, which one? I put you on the spot. Yeah, that's a good question. Who's been married in the... What do we mean by old sanctuary?
Oh, I got it.
There you go. Okay. Anybody else? Anybody else got married in the old? Were you pointing to somebody, Phil? Oh, yeah, sure, yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, what do you mean by the old one? The original one? How many of you got the first question answered right? Who has been here the longest? Give a prize to whoever that was. Who was that? Yep, Mary Jo. Okay. She had to get all theological on us. I should have known that was going to happen. Do what? Yeah. All right. Well, if you got all 21, we got some. Door prizes for you here. Probably going to be first come, first serve, or have a race to the door for the door prizes. anyway, happy anniversary. You know, let's just continue to pray for us to be faithful. We know God's going to be faithful, right? Let's stand. We're going to close in a hymn. Chris, you're going to come lead us in that?
All right. If you'll take your hymnals, turn to 43. Great is thy faithfulness. I thought this was appropriate for a service about faithfulness. Let's sing together. Back here in 50 years. Have a good afternoon.